always that God will help me to help you, help his people. We are the children of God, and we ask the Lord to help us today to understand in a greater way the Lord Jesus Christ and how he is in our lives by faith and what we need to do to glorify him and serve him. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This genealogy explains the background of the human side of Jesus through Joseph and through Mary, their ancestors. And it tells us very clearly that Christ is qualified to be the king of the Jews. If you'll turn on over to verse 16 with me. As the genealogy comes down, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all generation from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, but was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, we come to you in prayer. We ask you to bless this service. I pray that you'll give me recall of what I've studied and prepared. Help me to glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help me to glorify the Father. Help me to be led by thy Spirit. And Lord, speak to our hearts here today. Join us in this service, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week we looked at Matthew's gospel and saw that Christ is the King of the Jews. Matthew reveals the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ to prove that. The Jewish priests and Levites, who are all of the tribe of Levi, were given the job of keeping the records on the priests and the kings that they had in their genealogies. They knew exactly who their ancestry was. They had to prove their ancestry. You'll remember that back in the Old Testament, in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, that they went back after 70 years of captivity to rebuild the temple and to set up again the priesthood. And they had the records to qualify all those that were allowed to step into the priesthood. So this was a common thing with the Jewish religion. He tells us of the virgin birth. He tells us that Christ is Emmanuel, which means God with us. The four Gospels are like four short stories about Jesus Christ's life, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. Matthew reveals Jesus as the King of the Jews, showing that he met all the requirements to be not only King, but also Messiah. Messiah is the word we translate in English, Christ. It means the same thing, Messiah, Christ, the anointed of God. And the Bible proves that Jesus is the anointed of God. He met all of those requirements. Matthew was a Jew, but he became a tax collector. He was a Levite, so he was an educated Jew. I guess he was good with numbers and became a tax collector, and he was despised as a tax collector by the Jewish people. But Jesus went to him and spoke to him, and Matthew became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and joined himself as a disciple. Now, Mark wrote of Jesus who came as the humble servant to care for the needs of man. He used the term Son of Man. And that term was often used. I believe it's 83 times in the Gospels, the Son of Man. Christ is the representative man, the one who was perfect, the one who could pay the price for our sin, the one who was willing to offer himself. He took on flesh to be our kinsman redeemer, to pay the price for our debt that we could have everlasting life. John Mark, who wrote the gospel, was the nephew of Barnabas. His mother's name was Mary. And she had a church in her house. And they had gathered there and were praying for Peter when he was arrested. And he was released and came to that home. And they, he knocked on the door and they thought his ghost was there. They didn't believe he could be released from prison. But God had sent him. The Gospel of Luke reveals Jesus as the Son of Man, the term used by Christ himself to describe himself. He is the one who took our place. Luke reveals a genealogy also, just like Matthew. It's found in Luke 3, verse 23 through 38. And it's giving the ancestry of Mary's father, Heli. And Joseph is called his son. He was his son-in-law. And that is a common way they describe families as son or father, as even though it's second generation. Mary's family goes back to Adam in that genealogy. And Luke gives a detailed record of the birth of John the Baptist. He tells of the angel that visited with Zechariah when he was offering incense in the temple. And then the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to tell her she was found highly favored by God, and she would give birth to the Savior, the Son of God. Mary goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. They're related. And when she comes into the presence of Elizabeth, the babe, John the Baptist, leaps in her womb to be in the presence of Mary and the Savior. And John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And then John's birth is recorded, and Jesus' birth is recorded. And then Luke is also the one that tells us the wonderful story of the shepherds, how angels appeared to them and told them of the birth of Christ. And they went into the city and worshiped him, and came back praising God for what they had seen and what they had heard. The key verse in the Gospel of John is John 20 and verse 31. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Look at John chapter 1 with me. John chapter 1. There it is. While I clean my glasses, let me say hello to Miss Faye. She's watching today on live streaming. Enjoyed I visited with her the other day. Had a nice visit with her. She has a beautiful home. And we sure miss her not being able to be here. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And that particular word translates logos. Logos reveals the entirety of what God is. Christ reveals all that God is to man. He's the Logos. He is God, the part of the Godhead in intimate detail. It reveals His deity, His creative power, His incarnation. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus took on flesh, the only begotten Son of God. Another main word for the Word is rhema, which is the written or the spoken word. But logos reveals the person of God, a manifestation of the divine nature. The whole of who God is revealed in Jesus. He's the visible image of the invisible God. He manifests God to man, the Logos, the Word of God. John's gospel gives a revelation and a picture of everything that Jesus is throughout His whole ministry and life. Each chapter gives great teaching. Chapter 2, Jesus is the perfect human guest who is invited to a wedding. And there they run out of wine. And Mary speaks to Jesus. And they set large containers of water. And Jesus turns the water to wine. He and His disciples were at that. This was the first of the miracles. 35 specific individual miracles Jesus did in the four Gospels. That doesn't count when He was preaching places like this room and He healed the sick and saved all that were lost that were in that place. It can't be added up, all the things that Jesus did. Jesus was a divine teacher in chapter 3. He instructed a master of the Scriptures, Nicodemus. He said to him he must be born again in order to inherit the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a teacher. He was of the Levitical hierarchy. But he came to Jesus saying, "No man can do the miracles you do except God be with him." And Jesus didn't mince words. He looked straightly at him and said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again to inherit the kingdom of heaven." Divine teacher is pictured in chapter 3. In chapter 4, Jesus is a soul winner who must needs go through Samaria. And as He waits at the well and His disciples go into town to get provision, the woman of Samaria comes to draw water. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, give me to drink." She says, "How is it that you, a Jew, would speak to me, a Samaritan? Our people have nothing to do with one another." And Jesus said, "Go and get your husband." She said, "Lord, I have no husband." Jesus said, "That you've well said. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband." She said, "I perceive that thou art a prophet." I had a preacher friend that used to say that to me all the time when I would say something about what was going to happen. You know, he'd say, "Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet." As they talked, Jesus questioned her. Let's look at chapter 4 of John and verse 24 and 25. Jesus said to her, "God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." This woman became a believer. She went into the town and told others to come and see this man who told her everything about herself. And many others came out to see him and were saved. The soul winner in Samaria. In chapter 5, he reveals he's the great physician. He heals a man by the pool of Bethsaida. And there he is waiting to get into the water. It's a time of the Feast of the Jews, one of their three main feasts likely. And the Jews were angry at Jesus for healing a man on the Sabbath day. This place, the name of this place means the house of mercy, or it means an outpouring. And there was an outpouring of mercy that day as Jesus healed this man. In chapter 6, Christ is the bread of life. He feeds the 5,000, and then he begins to explain manna that came down from God, that he is the bread of life that came down from God for men to have life through him. He said in verse 35 of chapter 6, "I am the bread of life. I am living bread that came down from heaven." Chapter 7, Jesus said, the Feast of Tabernacles, "If a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow living waters." Rivers of living water. And the Bible says, "And this he spake of the Holy Spirit," verse 37 through 39 of chapter 7. Chapter 8, Jesus forgives a fallen woman that was taken in adultery. The Jews wanted to stone her to death. Jesus said, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone." And they were convicted by their own sin and left one by one. Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. A couple of times he looks up and speaks. He said to the woman, "Where are thine accusers?" She said, "Lord, there are none." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." She called him Lord. She made an acknowledgement of who he is and what he is. Chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, "I am the light of the world." Excuse me, verse 6 through 11 of chapter 9 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world." Chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He healed a man who had been born blind. He spit on clay and made a little mold and put it on the man's eyes and told him to go and wash. And when he did, his sight returned. Amazing. Those kind of things are kept and recorded for us to have a part of how Jesus did things. He could have touched the man and healed him completely, but he did it in such a way that men could understand what he was doing. In chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In chapter 11 at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Lazarus, who'd been in the tomb for 4 days, Jesus called his name, Lazarus, come forth. And they rolled the stone away, and Lazarus walked out alive from the dead. This miracle was so manifesting who Jesus is that the Jews not only sought to kill Jesus, but to kill Lazarus as well, so that the popularity of this event would not spread through the people. In chapter 12, Jesus rode into Jerusalem upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And the people cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. They laid their clothes down in the way and palm leaves in his way to ride upon, and they glorified him as king. This is a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy I'll read for you in Zechariah 9 and verse number 9. Zechariah 9, 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Christ fulfilled that prophecy in John 12. In John chapter 13, he fulfills riding into the city. Chapter 12. Chapter 13, he stoops down after the Passover and girds himself with a towel and washes the feet of his disciples. Most of you remember the story of Peter at that event. Peter said, do you wash my feet, Lord? You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, I don't have anything to do with you. Peter said, Lord, don't just wash my feet, wash my head and wash me all over. Christ said, you're not unclean except your feet. And he bathed his feet. The humility of the Son of God, taking a towel and washing the feet. I've seen numerous times people, a couple of times we have helped and other times when they did the deeds, cared for loved ones that were dying. They cleaned them up after their bodily functions made them unclean. They changed their sheets and their bedding and throw them in the washer, and in just a little while they have to do it again. And they give their loved ones baths and feed them, and they care for them in their being Christ-like. When they do that, they humble themselves to a point of service that others would not think of doing. In chapter 14, Jesus speaks words of comfort to his disciples. He has told them on several occasions that he will go into Jerusalem, he will be arrested, they will crucify him, and he'll rise again from the dead on the third day. But it just like went right over their heads. They did not comprehend. They did not want this to happen. Peter tried to stop it from happening. And instead of Peter, Jesus called him Satan, get thee behind me, for you savor the things of man and not the things of God. He came to die on the cross. He speaks words of comfort. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. Jesus said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Learn that verse of Scripture, John 14:6. Memorize that verse of Scripture. For no one is saved except the Father bring him in faith to Jesus Christ, and you believe on him to be saved. It's not religion. It's not church membership. It's not the denomination. It is the power of God that saves the soul because they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Words of comfort that he gave. Chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it to bring forth more fruit. We are the fruit-bearing trees of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We are to bear reproducing fruit. A tree of fruit bearing, like an apple tree in the orchards, they will constantly have to prune and trim all the little seedlings that will pop up around that tree from the apples with seeds within them that fall to the ground. And you and I are to be reproducing of our own kind as well, sharing the gospel with others, teaching them of Jesus Christ, making disciples for the Lord, reproducing ourselves in the lives of others. It is our job, our calling. We also give the fruit of our wealth to God, give back to him what he has blessed us with. And then we give him praise, the peaceable fruit of praise from our lips, which is fruit that he enjoys. And we're to show the fruit of righteousness in our daily lives. Chapter 16, Christ is to depart by death. He makes them aware he's going to die, but he's going to rise again from the dead. Chapter 16, verse 7 and 8, if you want to read text. In chapter 17, Christ prays his high priestly prayer of intercession, not only for his disciples, but for all who will believe because of them. So in a very real way, my friends, you and I were in that prayer. Our Savior, as the high priest of God, interceded for us who would believe the message of the gospel. Chapter 18, he reveals the betrayal and arrest, and the accusation that was brought against him. Chapter 19, I'll read this passage and close. Chapter 19 of John and verse 19. Verse 18 says, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jewish people where Jesus was crucified. It was written in the languages of the people of that day. It was written in Latin, which is what the Romans spoke. It was written in Hebrew, which is what the Jewish people were taught from their childhood. And it was written in Greek, which was the language of the world of that day because of Alexander the Great and the conquering that he did, and it spread. They were an educated people, and their language is almost as perfect as anything can be for translating of other languages because of the moods and the tenses that it reveals. Jesus is the King of the Jews. One day he'll come back to this earth in Revelation chapter 19. He'll come as King of kings and Lord of lords. He is our king, but he has not yet been crowned for that position in this world. He will come back and fight a great battle in Armageddon. And the blood will run to the depth of a horse's bridle. Oh, that the unsaved would just stop and listen and believe the message of hope that salvation is in Jesus Christ. He came and substituted himself for us so that we can be saved. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the people being here today. Thank you for the live streaming folks. We ask that you'd speak to hearts. Help us to take this message with us as we go. Help us to think on it today and ponder these things in our heart and our mind. And Lord, if it generates questions, that's good. I hope folks will come back and ask me about them. And Lord, for you who give the answers, we praise you. We thank you. We love you. We bow our heads in worship. For thou and thou alone art worthy of all adoration, and we describe that to thee. Bless in the hearts of men and women today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.